So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Oh yeah, I've had him up for a while already. Definitely. You've got to. Especially now. You don't have... All right, get out and get a tree then, would you? Jeez. All right, let's go, Reg. Come on. Get in the Yuletide spirit. That's what this show is going to be all about today. So hopefully after you listen to this, you will be moved, as well as hopefully the podcast legions out there will as well. So here we go. Let's get started. I'll give you the three S's, and I'll give you a countdown. You give me the music. I'll give you a good podcast, and we'll have some good fun. We'll have some merry fun. How's that? I like the way those levels are bouncing there. That looks good. Keep it there, and let's get started. Ready? Okay. Three S's, star, smile, strong. All right. Here we go. Three, two.
Whoa, Reg, what'd you do there?
Quick with the finger. Slow down. Wait till I say three, okay? I know you're anxious to hear this podcast. I'm anxious to do it, but let's just play by the rules, okay? Here we go. Ready? Three, two, one. No, I got to start over. All right, let's go. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Oh, gee. Whoa, come on, Reg. What are you doing? You're killing me here. Recue the music. Oh, all right, here we go again. Wow, this is becoming quite a production. We haven't even started yet. Here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com, or we are found wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Wherever you go to download your favorite podcast, this is there too. And it should be, because, of course, this is your favorite podcast. And please don't forget to tell your friends and spread the word about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. You can do that by sending your friends a link, sending them a message, and sending them the reasons in detailed order as to why you are a regular listener of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why they should also be finding and downloading and listening to this podcast as well. Thank you for doing that. Your loyalty and your devotion is much, much, much appreciated. You guys are my inspiration, so thank you for staying with me for so long. In fact, we've been doing this podcast for, what now, going on almost 5 years. 2016. If you like what you hear or like what you've been hearing, then don't forget, go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, and go to the prompt for this podcast, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you will find all previous 236 episodes in those pristine vaults, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 237. So, well, geez. Reggie having a tough day behind the board today, huh? Wow. You haven't heard the most of it either. Anyway, wow. Reggie the producer with a quick and an unsteady finger on the buttons today. Anyway, in the words of Don Rickles. So here we are. We are smack dab in the middle of the Christmas season now. It is officially Christmas. We have gone through Thanksgiving, the speed bump holiday, as I call it, especially this year. My gosh, poor Thanksgiving was just a controversial affair. You know, people didn't know what to do with the in light of the pandemic. Quite a few people, I believe 6 million people, just said pandemic schmandemic and got on planes and traveled around the country. We'll only be probably beginning to see now what the results of that will be in terms of the spiking, the possible surge upon a surge upon a surge upon a surge, with people going indoors in close quarters, possibly masked, most probably not masked, and how that's going to play into the current spreading of the disease, which is hitting record numbers here. But yeah, so poor Thanksgiving was kind of the guinea pig of holidays. Certainly, we were involved in Easter when the pandemic began in spring, but at that time things were relatively new. People were not suffering from this so-called pandemic fatigue, which I think is just another way of saying an excuse for bad behavior. It sounds nice, and it, unfortunately, it's been adopted by people that are actually given credence to it. But at the end of the day, it's a nice, convenient excuse for doing what you want to do rather than what you should do. And so Thanksgiving, so Easter came and went. And while there was still a fear of this, I think people postponed or canceled their Easter celebrations without much fuss. But as time went on and the pandemic continued and restrictions continued to be levied and then lifted with no real sense of logic, which is, I think, led us to where we are today, more than just, you know, reacting to the public and their growing frustration and their growing fatigue, I guess, is the word that they're using now. I don't call it fatigue. I just call it their lack of wanting to sacrifice. How's that? So poor Thanksgiving got stuck here because there were a lot of people that that decided to just throw up their arms and say, okay, well, we'll see what happens, but I want to be with my family. It's been 8 months, and I want to spend Thanksgiving. And so they're throwing caution to the wind, and hopefully those people will be safe and they will be healthy, but the odds are against it based on the way that the science has shown the way this is spreading amongst people. As I've said many times since the beginning of this, since I first heard it, and it really hit home to me, and that's why I've been living a very as diligent of as safe of an existence for the last 8 months as I can, and taking proper precautions. And if I have extended my social boundaries, I've made sure that they are not safe, or that they are safe, not just conveniently safe, to make what I'm doing sound okay. I've planned ahead. I have made sure if I have put myself in a situation, or I've planned if I'm going to put myself in a possible situation, what are the drawbacks? And if those drawbacks look too large, I decided against it. And I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal. I'm just showing you that there are ways to extend your social distancing and your social footprint without putting yourself and others at risk. But around Thanksgiving, people just said, heck with it. And I think we're going to see, sadly, the results of that very soon. And it's going to make Christmas even more of a head scratcher, of a controversial time, of a holiday that a lot of people are going to be struggling with as to what to do. And that's what I want to talk about today. So poor Thanksgiving was the guinea pig. And we're waiting to see the results of that. But the early results have not been good as far as so many people traveling and sort of, you know, saying heck with it. Even public officials. Wow, did you hear about the mayor of Denver who had the gall to get up on his high horse and talk about not celebrating Thanksgiving and not getting together with your family? And then within a half hour of making one of these pleas to the public, he got on a plane and flew to Missouri or Mississippi to be with his wife and his daughter? Now that's gall, and that's stupidity, and that's selfishness. And so hopefully we see the hypocrisy that many people are indulging in, and we see how they are rationalizing their behaviors to fit what they want to do. They're rationalizing the realities to fit what they want to do. Oh, well, we went to just a small gathering, and they were my family. Well, if you're not living with them, the virus doesn't know they're your family. They don't know that you're Aunt Ethel from
from Missouri is your aunt, and she's into town, and so it won't spread. I said this from the beginning. The disease does not care about our calendars, about our holidays, about our social situations, and about our selfish behaviors. It just spreads. That's what a virus does. It has one job: to stay alive, to keep going, and to multiplying and spreading. And my gosh, have we been helping that virus stay around and stay strong and stay alive? Whew, unbelievable. As I've said many times, since I heard it and it really struck home to me, and it was said by Dr. Fauci early on, this virus does not spread on its own. We spread it. This virus would die and go away if not for people spreading it. It would be gone. It does not naturally move and spread. It moves and spreads through people's behaviors, through people spreading it. So when you see these numbers of 12,000 cases a day, of a million cases a day, of 2 or 3 million cases a week, there's no great surprise here. This is being spread by irresponsible, selfish human behavior. That's all you can say at this point. You can't sugarcoat this anymore. Yes, vaccines are on the way. But even the most optimistic predictions about the vaccines will be by mid-year of 2021, when it will be available to the masses and people will be able to receive the vaccine in large numbers, and many people at least will have a protection. But this will not be a complete immunity from the disease as well, and we will still have to be vigilant, and we will still have to be wearing masks and still keeping by these guidelines after you get inoculated. This is not over. We are making progress, but it is a long, long haul. And those who have been saying that have been ostracized by the community or by their families or by their friends. And I don't understand why the people showing responsibility are the ones who are being singled out as being wimpy or overcautious or, we're not going to invite you to our we're going to have a family we're going to have our family get together, but you're not going to be invited because, well, you think you're going to get sick or that you're over, why am I being penalized? Why am I being singled out for doing what's right? You're doing bad behavior and somehow you think you're being rewarded, when at the end of the day, you're not being rewarded because your reward will be getting sick. I don't know. I keep harping on this, and I hate to keep ringing the bell, but my gosh, look at these numbers. What will change our behavior? I said this months and months and months ago. Sadly, the only thing that's going to change our behavior is when everybody either gets corona or knows somebody very close to them, not even just a friend or not just some distant aunt or uncle, but someone in their family whom they see ever on a regular basis and love and cherish with all their hearts. And then they see those people suffer, and only then perhaps will they change their behavior. Because we've seen that the people that have gotten this, or the people that have close relatives, mothers and fathers or children or grandparents, when they have seen the suffering that they have gone through, they become converted and become believers that this is not just a hoax. It's not just a bad flu. Come on, people. But here's my hope. Amidst all this gloom and doom and my lecturing, and I'm not trying to lecture, I'm just trying to get through to people. It's so frustrating. Yeah, I've missed out on a lot of things this last year. And that's the way it goes. And that's what you have to do. It's called sacrificing. It's called adapting. It's called being an adult. It's called not being acting like a five-year-old kid. It's about acting mature and facing reality, which a lot of people, we are learning now, never do, meaning grow up, and never want to do, face reality. And I've been screaming about how our society has become indulgent and narcissistic and selfish for the past 10 or 15 years. And people looked at me like I was some kind of, oddball, or putting myself on some pedestal. No, I was just looking at the behavior and saying things are not going well here. And finally, now, when you see this horrible behavior, even though people have been warned and told, and you see how people act, regardless of that, I think I've been proven correct. But there are some ways to have fun and have an enjoyable time within this hopefully temporary period of adjustment and sacrifice that we are in. Now, if you remember, if you listen to the podcast with any regularity, you'll know that I was talking about Christmas back in July. My wife and I love Christmas, and we pulled out some Santas just to sort of brighten things up in July, you know, Christmas in July, and we had Santa out for the month of July, just one of our Santa dolls. Well, now, of course, the house is, you know, in full swing in terms of Christmas decorations, but I was saying back then in July, if you don't want to have your Christmas spoiled in your mind, if you want to have some kind of a celebration that you won't feel deprived about at Christmas time, I was saying this in July, then start thinking now, start planning now, because I said in July, come Christmas, this is still going to be around. It's not going to be gone, so don't pretend it's going to be, and don't hold off on this. Start thinking back in July. Let's pretend that, and I even said that COVID is not only the way it is now, but worse than now, which it is. And what can we do? Let's think now in July, back in July. Let's think of how we can make Christmas fun, in quotes perhaps, enjoyable, in quotes perhaps, but at least acceptable in a time of this pandemic. Because if you're sitting there at this point, and still planning on having a big Christmas get-together, and then ultimately you may, because the numbers and the seriousness of this by Christmas in the next 2 or 3 weeks may become so dire that you are forced to cancel it, well, then you're really going to be depressed. You're really going to be angry. But that's your own fault, because you have not planned ahead. Plan for the worst and take whatever comes as a blessing then. That's the way you need to adapt and plan. I was saying this back in July. If you're one of these people that knows that you're going to have to, you feel the need to socialize and get together with your family in some way or do some kind of celebration that warms the cockles of your heart at Christmas time. And I get all that, because nobody loves the Christmas season more than I do. But I also can't let that enthusiasm override the seriousness and reality of the situation. So if you wind up planning something big for Christmas and then finding that you just either legally or internally have to cancel it, that's your own fault, because you haven't been facing the reality of this. There's been so much mass denial on COVID for, once again, selfish reasons. But Christmas can be fun if you find ways to have fun within the constraints that we are in. And to look at the big picture, because sadly here in America, we never look at the big picture. We're so self, we just need immediate gratification. We always look at what's right in front of us. We don't look 5 miles down the road. The quicker we can get rid of this, next Christmas won't be the same as this year. next Thanksgiving won't be the same. But if we continue to show bad behavior in the short term, we will only be elongating this. Even with the vaccine, the vaccine is not a silver bullet, folks. It is certainly a huge improvement and a huge preventive measure to slow this, but human behavior is still going to play a part even after the vaccinations. And even that, for the mass of us, won't happen until probably May or June at the earliest. Start understanding that now. But in terms of Christmas, which is 3 weeks away, you still can have some Yuletide. I think you can. I'm planning on it. I'm hopefully going to have some. Because I've been thinking about what we can do. Not pretending like nothing's going on. Going about your business and then having to cancel it, then getting mad and saying, well, why did this happen? Because you created the situation of your own anger. That's why it happened. So, how can you have a merry COVID Christmas? How can you do that? Or can you do that? I believe you can. So I'm going to pass along some helpful hints here so that this Christmas, yes, it's going to be different. It's going to be a little disappointing. It's going to be maybe, you know, the most low-key Christmas you've ever had. But that's okay. If you can find ways to still inject some of the warm feelings and that Yuletide spirit that makes the holiday season so enjoyable for so many people, there are still ways to do that. Now, just as a quick recap of some of my Christmas traditions, which I'm still planning on doing to keep some of the old memories and traditions still alive. And here's the thing. How about trying to start some new traditions? You know, we're so hell-bent on, well, we always do this, and we always do this, and we always do this at Christmas time. And that's great. I get that. But the circumstances right now don't allow for that. How about using a little creativity, a little imagination? You've been relying on all those traditions that others have created for you in your lives. Oh, I've been doing this since I was 4 or since I was 10. Well, that means that your parents or your grandparents created these traditions. Well, how about you picking up the slack now? How about you creating some new traditions for the holidays, for this unique holiday? Hopefully it's unique. Hopefully it's not normal. That's the goal here, folks. We don't want to make this the new normal. But here's a little challenge for you. Here's something to keep you busy. Think of new traditions, new ways within the guidelines that you can celebrate and still have that same warm holiday feeling. You know, a lot of things that have happened in our society to adjust to a COVID world for this time period, I guarantee you a lot of those are going to stick around. I guarantee you curbside service at stores and restaurants, you know, and you go to a store now and there's like 7 or 8, 10 parking spaces for curbside pickup. I don't believe that's going away. That's something that was created for this. And I think a lot of people are digging that. I think a lot of people are enjoying that. It's more efficient. It's more convenient. It's more. It's less time consuming. We will find that many of these so-called temporary adjustments might and will now, after we've been doing them for 7 or 8 months, and we're used to them, and we see that they are good, and they make things easier and better, are going to stick around long after COVID's gone. Those things would not have come if not for COVID, and yet we found new and better ways to do things. Curbside service is one of those things, I believe, that will stick around. So how about taking that mindset into your Christmas? These businesses had to, for their survival, they had to find ways to reach their customers in a safe way. So they had to sit down, look at what they did, look at what they used to do, look at what they have on hand, and say, okay, how can I, with a little adjustment, still get my end game of serving my customer, getting my products to them, but perhaps in a different process, in a different way. That's what they had to do. They had to sit down and think of new ways. Curbside pickups and these designated parking spaces and the procedures you had to do. Those just didn't happen. People at companies, people at businesses, big or small, sat down, had meetings, brainstormed, and came up with them. And many of those are in place, and many of those are working well, and many of those are working so well and so efficient that I believe they will be permanent. Because now businesses have found a different and additional way to serve their customers. How great is that? They may never have gotten that inspiration if not for COVID. I'm not saying this is a great time, but my point is you take a difficult situation, you try to make it better, and you may even better yourself through it. Why can't you apply that to your Christmas? Don't just throw your hands up and say, I'm doing my Christmas the way I always do it and the way I want to do it. And then if people don't come or that you have to cancel it, then you just get angry and say, well, see, that's all this BS going on. No, that was your BS. That was your BS of denying the situation, of being stubborn, and of not changing and adapting, and then having to cancel it, and then getting mad and blaming someone else when it was your fault. Use this situation. It's tough, I understand. But maybe it can be an inspirational situation for you. A chance for you to sit down and get a little creative. Find different ways to use the same business model. Here's my usual Christmas celebration. What's my end game? To have fun and enjoy the Christmas season and Christmas Day holiday with my loved ones. That's the end game, right? All right. Now, given the realities, how can I still get to that end zone? How do I still get to that enjoy spending quality time or quality experiences with my loved ones at the holidays? That's the end game. How do I get there with the realities and the constraints on me in the COVID world? That's the problem. Now, I understand people say, well, geez, who wants to go through all this? You do. You should. You go through the same amount of planning and work to put together your usual Christmas, right? There's a lot that goes into that. Okay, you're asked to put in a little extra time. Is that end game worth it to you? How much is it worth it to you? Is it worth it to you to put a little time and effort to think about new ways to get to that end game? Or just be stubborn? Or just be defiant? And wind up being disappointed and angered? Because that's what's going to happen. Your Christmas is going to be a time of great anger and despair if you don't find ways and plan a different kind of Christmas. Because it has to be. The numbers are showing that. So once again, here I'll just give you a quick little thing here. This is my verbal PowerPoint. Okay, so now think about what you will do on your normal Christmas celebration. Once again, keeping in mind what your end game is, creating and having memorable experiences with your loved ones on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That's the goal. And here's what you usually do. Okay, probably 95% of those usual things you do are all dangerous according to the COVID spread. But you can take each one of those things. Well, we always do this and we always do that. And every family's different. Every family has different family traditions. But okay, so let's sit down and make a list of what comprises your Christmas celebration. Write it down. Right? All the things you do. We do this and we do that and we play this game and we do, or whatever you do. We give out presents. We use Secret Santa. We sing Christmas cards. Whatever you do, whatever those family traditions that make this Christmas season so important to you, whatever you do, write those all down. Then the COVID Christmas challenge is, how do I either duplicate those, or at the very least, how do I capture the spirit of those through the behaviors that are safe? Now, I understand a lot of this stuff will have to be virtual. I get it. That's not the same. But it's one time. So get past that obstacle and just admit that. And then think in a virtual mind, how can we still celebrate some of these traditions, get some of the warm fuzzies from them? They may not be the same. They may not feel the same. But at least some of what we cherish about them will be imparted to us just in a different way. That's the challenge. I think they're possible. It's possible to do that if you, once again, approach this in a very logical, realistic way. Does that sound so radical or so impossible? It takes a little more time. It takes a little more thought. It takes a little more creativity. But maybe, just maybe, you'll happen upon something you never thought of doing that turns out so fun, so special, so memorable, so enjoyable, that you wind up incorporating that into your Christmases for the next 40 years. You never know until you try. Use this difficult situation as a situation to find some positive, and maybe some long-term positive. Maybe it's time to create some new traditions. You can still keep your old ones, but there's nothing wrong with adding a few more. Right? So, some of my new traditions, some of my old traditions. So, first of all, I've always told you, like this year, for instance, I've been Every year for the last 2 or 3 years, for whatever reason, I've been creeping up the time that I put up my Christmas decorations. It used to be, you know, day after Thanksgiving. That was usually the official unofficial day that everybody put up their decorations. And then I was like, well, you know, we could do it maybe a couple days before. What's the big deal, right? And then last year I did it like on the 20th, maybe 5 or 6 days before. This year, I think because of just, you know, a little restlessness and a little, oh, what the heck, I put up our decorations on November 17th. Took a couple of days. I didn't, you know, because then usually when you do it that day after Thanksgiving, you're in a rush and you try to get everything done in one day and it becomes like a 10-hour extravaganza. That, you know, you either get tired or you throw your back out. So I said, let me start on the 16th or the 17th, and I'll take a couple of days to do it, which I did. And in a couple of days, our whole house was decked out with all our Christmas decorations. Now, I should say, too, that initially, you know, back in July, when my wife and I were talking about this, hey, I practice what I preach, folks. So back in July, I said, you know, we've got so much Christmas decorations. We love to decorate the house. And we've got about 12 or 13 bins of Christmas stuff, just jammed, plus ornaments, right? There's another 2 or 3 bins of that. But just dolls and statues and garlands and you name it. And so I said, well, you know, who knows what Christmas is going to be like? Are we going to be in the mood? Whatever it is. Maybe this year, to add a little fun, a new tradition, With all these bins that we have, and it takes all these days and hours to do, maybe we do something different just to change things up. Maybe my wife and I go down into our basement and look at the bins, and we just choose one bin apiece. Some of them are marked, some of them are not. But maybe we just say, you know, I mean, I don't remember where they're at. So we put a blindfold on and we feel all the different bins and we say this one. We each pick one bin and whatever's in that bin, in those two bins, that's the only decorations we put up that year. So it's luck of the draw, like, oh, look at, well, this is the one. Okay, oh, we didn't get that. Okay, but that's, you know, just to add a little element of surprise and make it a little interesting. Maybe, and we'll see how it works. Because to be honest with you, you know, like I said, putting all this stuff together, I mean, I love when it's up. But boy, putting it away is always a pain. That's always, it's always kind of depressing as well as a lot of work and a lot of up and down the stairs and carrying things. So I was like, hey, you know, maybe we do this. We had that little mystery element to it to make it fun, but also it cuts down on the time maybe. So that was kind of, you know, that was one of the things we decided to do and to maybe, you know, spice things up and change things just to add a little different element to what was going to be a different kind of Christmas. Well, as Christmas got closer, I said, so are we going to do the secret bins kind of Christmas? And the more I thought, well, you know, maybe we can just put, you know, we've got a stairway that goes upstairs. Like, you know, we always line the stairs with a doll on every stair leading up, you know. I said, well, maybe we can do the one bin, plus we can just do the different dolls that we put up the stairs. I'm a big Santa fan. My wife's a big snowman fan. So going up the stairs, we alternate dolls. We have a snowman doll on one stair, a Santa doll on the next. Snowman, Santa, snowman, 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 Santa, snowman. Alternating all the way up to the top of the stair. I think there's about maybe 12 stairs or so. So that's nice when you walk in the front door, you see that and you're already kind of in the Christmas mood. So I said, okay, we'll do the mystery bin of one bin apiece. But, you know, but we'll still do the stairs because, you know, that's kind of traditional, and it's only one more bin, and it's only 12 dolls. It takes 2 seconds to put those up, so we'll just do that. And then I said, well, you know, because who knows which bin you're going to get, and I sort of have some of my favorite Santas that I love seeing every year, and what if I don't pick that favorite Santa? What if I don't pick the bin where one of my favorite Santas is in, you know? So the realities were starting to come up here about the dangers of that one bin new tradition. So I said, well, maybe we can just do the stairs, and then, you know, we line one of the couches that's against the wall with about 5 or 6 or 7 Santa dolls, which I all these my favorite Santa dolls. So, you know, that's kind of tradition too. So maybe we'll just do the stairs and then the couch. And then whichever one bin you and I pick, we'll put that up where it usually goes. And that'll be good. Well, then I was thinking, yeah, but geez, what about, you know, what if we don't pick the one that usually goes here? And what about our Christmas pillows? We have Santa and snowman pillows that we put on the couches to help, you know, decorate the couches. Well, will we do that? Well, I think you see where this is going. It soon became apparent that we were not going to do the Christmas bin, one bin thing. We're going to do the whole thing. But, like I said, I changed my mind, and so I decided to do it a little earlier. We took a little time. But so the house has been decorated in full Yuletide spirit since November 17th. But in order to give Thanksgiving its due, because I do believe that, sadly, Thanksgiving has become more and more, and especially this year, as I said earlier, has become a speed bump holiday. It's a holiday we almost obligatorily have to do in order to get to Christmas. And, you know, I think Thanksgiving deserves its due. Thanksgiving was always my mom's holiday in the family. So I do have a certain special memories of Thanksgiving because my mom was always rushing around the house all day for days on end before cleaning the house and setting the table and putting the different little decorations on the table and then, you know, preparing the food. And we would have some other relatives would bring some side dishes, but my mom still did the main meal. And, that day she was always rushing around and always worried about, is everybody having a good time and everybody have their coffee, everybody have their food, And so those are my memories of Thanksgiving. And so I always have a soft spot for Thanksgiving. But at the same time, I still think that, sadly, it's become a speed bump. But I do try to at least give its due. So even though our house, to keep the Thanksgiving spirit alive, because at the beginning of October, we did put up some of our autumnal decorations. We put a leaf wreath, an autumn wreath in our front window. We had a couple of pilgrim dolls. My mom had this Thanksgiving platter that we put on our dining room table. We have different pumpkins, for Halloween, as well as just rather, autumn stuffed pumpkins and a combination of autumn decorations and some Halloween decorations since the beginning of August, and kept those up. The Halloween ones go away after Halloween, then the autumnal ones still stay up until we do for Christmas. But so we had to take the autumnal ones down for the most part when we put all the Christmas stuff up. But we did leave our living room cocktail table, which is in the middle that we right by our couches that we use every day. We did leave that still decorated in the Thanksgiving mode. So it was a strange transition. The whole house was Christmas-ized except for our coffee table. And as I said, so we had the platter on there then. We moved the platter over. We had a couple of stuffed pumpkins and pumpkin figurines and some, autumnal and, some squirrels. And we had a tablecloth that had autumn look to it. So that was still there. So Thanksgiving got its due, at least to some extent. And our Thanksgiving was very low-key this year. It was just my wife and I. And so, my wife and me, I should say. So we ate on that table. So we still had our Thanksgiving meal was on a Thanksgiving table. So that was what we did in order to keep the spirit of Thanksgiving alive while we had our meal. However, on the outside of the house, no one outside knew that from November 17th, we already had been Christmassized inside. Now, we had some nice weather. Usually, I don't go crazy on the outside with all crazy lights. I just put a couple of floodlights, a green light on one side of the house and a red light, a red on one side, green on the other. And we just have a nice little lit small tree that sits on the porch. Now, I did put those up. I did change the floodlights and I did put the tree there, but I didn't light it. Right, so it was there. No one knew about the floodlights, obviously. You could see the tree, but that could have been up there all the time. So inside, basically, Christmas winter wonderland. Outside, still with the autumnal wreath on the door. So to the outside world, we are still celebrating Thanksgiving. In fact, I even had a couple, I had a couple of small plastic pumpkins they put in each of the flower beds in front of our front window. So outside world, we are still Thanksgiving-oriented here at our home, right? We are not bypassing the holiday. We are still giving Thanksgiving its due to the outside world. In the inside world, Santas and snowmen wherever you look, except for the coffee table. But I figured by 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, for whatever reason, the Thanksgiving meals are usually earlier in the day. I don't know. We would usually, when we got together with the family, it's usually earlier, 3 or 4, sometimes even earlier than that. So I figured, by 6 o'clock, especially now with the clocks changed, it gets dark earlier. I thought by 6 o'clock, I think it's fair to officially say Thanksgiving is over. Ho, ho, ho. Welcome Christmas. And so at 6 o'clock, with the red and the green floodlight already in place and the little lit Christmas tree on the front porch by the front door. At 6 o'clock, I determined that that was the official end of Thanksgiving. And I clicked on the lights, and boom, we were now officially Christmasized. All right, and I took the wreath off. There were a few things I had to do. I had to take the autumnal wreath off before I should say now, before I turned the lights on. I'm glad I reminded myself of this. Yeah, there was a few things. I had to take the autumnal wreath off the window and put the Santa face there. I had to go and get those two pumpkins that were in the flower beds, take those away. We have a little little snowman with our name that we hang from our mailbox on the front of our house. And so that wasn't up yet. So I had to put this, in one of the windows, we have like a Santa coat that I hang in the window. So before six, about 5 to 6, I started some of these preparations. I put the Santa coat in the window. I put the snowman around the mailbox. I took the wreath off and put the Santa face there. I took the pumpkins away. And then at 6 o'clock, I clicked on the lights, and it was officially Christmas. What was inside was now projected to the outside world. That's me. No one knew. Probably no one cared, but I did. And I waited till 6 o'clock to do that. But yeah, so once again, those we found a way to keep Thanksgiving alive in a different way. That's my point. And to make the Christmas and this official transition, it was a little goofy, maybe a little anal, but also a little fun. I created this time to do that, and that's what I did. And it was so on the official unveiling, it was kind of fun finding a new way to do old things and to get old Christmas spirit into this different world. That's my point. Now, so Christmas stuff is up. It's been up. And now we're no holds barred. And now that we're in the first week of December, I mean, who cares? Now we're in the full swing. So, but that's my point about finding little things to do for yourself, just to add a little excitement to this, to give, admittedly, a low key time, a little excitement. It's possible. So, Christmas cards. If you've listened to me with any regularity, you know that my wife and I, we have been sending out Christmas cards, you know, ever since we got married. And my gosh, there was one time we were sending out maybe 150 Christmas cards. No kidding. Well, as the years go on, you pare things down. Sadly, people pass away. You lose touch with some people for whatever reason. Our list right now, as it stands, is at 54 cards. It's quite a big difference in the last 30 years. But if you think about it, that's about three cards a year that we've taken off our list in the last 30 years. Maybe 32, 33 cards a year, you know, almost maybe 3.5 cards. So we're down to 54. And as I've said before, in the last few years, I've noticed that, you know, given the internet and the whole different kind of mindset with snail mail and everything, I don't know about you, but we've been getting fewer cards every year. Now, granted, we've been sending out fewer cards every year as well, but I've always found it strange that we have sent out X amount of cards. We never got back that many cards. So clearly we're sending out cards to people who either don't have us on their list anymore for whatever reason, which is fine, or they're just not sending out cards. But my point was, well, I mean, should we be sending out cards anymore? Or when people get these cards, are they going, oh, what a pain in the butt? Why are they still sending cards? So once again, I created a new edict. In order to send out cards the next year, we have to get at least half plus one. Half plus one of the amount of cards that we sent out, right? So 54 actually works out nice. We have to get 28 cards. 27 and 27 is 54. Plus one is 28, right? We need 28. So last year I said, okay, we sent out 54. We have to get at least 28 cards or we are not sending out cards next year. And I have to say, we were getting down. Now, usually when I put this edict in about 3 or 4 years ago, and we always bypassed it. But last year, we pared down the list again and got to 54. And don't forget, I know the mail is slow. That's not my fault. You know, there's no mail on Christmas Day. So whatever we get on Christmas Eve, that's the final total. And I have to say, it wasn't until Christmas Eve when we went over the 28 mark. I think we wound up getting 32. But before Christmas Eve, I believe we were at 25. There was a good chance that we were not going to send out Christmas cards this year. But we have to, or we will. I shouldn't say have to. That sounds mean, right? But so now my point is, see how that adds a little more fun to the idea of Christmas cards? Because now every day we go to that mailbox and we're counting the cards. You know, we're creating a little excitement. Now, look, folks, I don't make these rules. I just enforce them. Although, I guess I do make those rules. But regardless, finding new ways to bring some fun and Christmas spirit to the season. Now, even though I've done that before the COVID Christmas world, we're going to send them out again because we have to, according to last year's tally. So this year, when the cards start to come, we will be counting them. We've already gotten, I believe, 3 or 4 or 5 cards already, if not more. So we'll see. We're going to send out 54. Are we going to get 28 back or more? We will see. That's my point. Finding fun ways to bring the Yuletide spirit. Now, I've talked to you in the past about my nativity scene. Everybody who puts up a nativity scene, whether it's the day after Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, or whenever you put it up, usually put the entire nativity scene up, right? You put the stable, you put Jesus and Mary and the baby and the three wise men and the animals all together, and you put up your nativity scene. I've been saying this for decades now. That is not correct. Jesus wasn't born yet. You can't have Jesus out there in that stable before Christmas Day. You can't have those wise men visiting that stable before Christmas Day. In theory, you shouldn't even have Jesus or Mary and Joseph there. You should really just have a stable. And then maybe the day before, I'm not sure how long Mary's labor was. So let's say just for the sake of argument and a little Christmas spirit, let's say that Mary had a 24-hour labor, right? I mean, this was Immaculate Conception. Who knows? It might have been, you know, not so immaculate delivery. So in order to put up Jesus and Mary or Joseph and Mary, well, I'll give you Christmas Eve, maybe even the day before Christmas Eve, right? Maybe it was a 2-day labor. You never know back in those days. But really, Joseph and Mary should not be up. The wise men should not be anywhere close to that stable, and Jesus should not be there. So, at my house, the stable is up with the animals and a little shepherd boy, and that's it. The three wise men, we have our nativity scene in a side room. The three wise men are not even close to the stable. They're not even in the same room. I have them in the dining room. They have to traverse afar from the dining room over the next several weeks to the side room where the nativity is. And every couple of days, I move them a few more feet. But they have to traverse afar. That's what it says in the song. As far as Jesus, to make sure I don't forget him, because one year I forgot where I hid him, I keep him in the piano bench. I keep in the piano bench because it's close to where the nativity is. So Jesus is in the nativity, is in the piano bench until Christmas Day and at midnight. I mean, I'll give it to you then. But that's when Jesus gets into the stable. Joseph and Mary are close to the stable, but not there because they have to traverse to Egypt as well to get to Bethlehem. But the wise men are so far away at this point in early December, they haven't, I don't even know if they've even met. I don't even know if they've decided to even go on a trip anywhere, more or less seeing, you know, the star and following that star. So I, in fact, as I'm talking out loud, I may not even put my three wise men together. At this point, they're probably in their own homes in different parts of the city or different parts of the region. They maybe not even have not even come together yet. So you know what? A new wrinkle to my nativity scene. I usually have my three wise men together in one spot. I'm going to put them, now that I thought about it, I'm glad I'm doing this podcast. As they see, new traditions created on the spot. You just heard it happen. You just heard the creative spark happen, folks. I didn't think about this before, just now. That's my point. I proved my own point. Didn't even know I was going to do that. I'm going to move my wise men apart and make them move at different paces now. Oh, this will be fun. Oh, this is great. New tradition made this year, 2020, that I will keep forever. Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you the smile on my face right now. I was trying to make a point. I was hoping to prove it to you, and I just proved it to you. There, I just made up my own new tradition that I think I'm going to do from now on. That's going to bring fun and excitement into this Christmas. See what I mean? Perfect. Oh, I'm so happy. So there you go. Now, why can't you do that? You know what I mean? December 1st, the beginning of meteorological winter, and after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, on the 20, what was it? I mean, I think it was that night when I turned on the Christmas lights, I went and got my festive pin. Put it on my winter coat. It's there proudly. I've gone out. People have already commented on it. It is not a brooch, as I've said many times. It's a festive pin. It's a little wreath pin that I've decorated, and I put on my, it's a fake wreath, but it's kind of big, and I put tinsel on it, and I pin it to my lapel. It's always, I think at one time it was like an ornament that my mom used to put on her tree, but I turned it into a festive pin. And that's a part of my new tradition. I wear the festive pin all the time. Brought it out the night of Thanksgiving, and there it is. It's not a brooch, as I said many times. Elderly women wear brooches. Virile men wear festive pins. But, you know, we have to find ways to do this virtually. There are ways. Now, what I'm thinking what you can do is, what I'm going to do, I think, this year, you know, the COVID thing has kept us in our homes. We're doing a lot of things around the house. We're doing a lot of things. A lot of people have been baking and cooking, you know, not going out to restaurants and things like that. Bring that to your Christmas. One of my favorite holiday beverages is eggnog. I love eggnog. Okay, I usually go to the store and buy some eggnog. This is no free promotional plug here. I love locally here in the Chicago area, there's a dairy called Oberweis. They make amazing eggnog. It's a little expensive, but it's the holidays, right? Comes in a nice glass bottle. What I think that we're going to do this year, I'm going to go online. I think we're going to try to make our own eggnog this year. Oh, sure, I can go to the store and buy some, but maybe it'll be good. Maybe I'll create a new tradition. Maybe we will not buy the Oberweis eggnog anymore because we will find that we make great eggnog at home. I don't know. But we're going to try it. Maybe you can try to make homemade eggnog. Some friends of mine, we may try this again. We might do this. My wife's been talking about it. They have a little contest amongst their family every year where they make, they have all these different elements, and they have the houses made, and they have a competition. Everybody decorates their own gingerbread house. And they even then post pictures of all the gingerbread houses online. And they have people, their friends or family, vote, or even strangers can vote, as to which one was the best one. And the winner gets a prize. Once again, maybe you've never done that before, but here's something you could do in the house. Here's something you could do virtually. Even if you're not with people, you can do this on Zoom. You can do this on FaceTime. You can do this at home. Take a picture of it. Send it to your family member. You know, get all the pictures together and post them up. This is something you can do virtually that still in, you know, that evokes and is in the Christmas tradition. So I think we're going to do that this year. Maybe that's something you might want to try. There are a lot of things, folks. The idea is taking some time to find those things. I don't know what your traditions are. I know they're very endearing and you hold them very close to your heart. I'm not trying to say throw those aside or devalue them. What I'm trying to impart on you here is that for a COVID Christmas, they just need to be altered a bit. They don't have to be thrown away. They don't have to be discarded. They don't have to be forgotten. They just have to be altered a bit. And with a little creativity and a little ingenuity and a little inspiration, a little time, I think you have it in you. If Christmas is that important to you, if creating those experiences, if creating those memories on Christmas are that important for you, then I think that should be enough motivation for you to take the time to either create new traditions or to take your existing traditions and give them a new spin. Because who knows? Maybe those can become new traditions as well. All I'm trying to say is, folks, we're in a real situation here. Our behavior is not helping it. Don't make Christmas 2020 a time that we will regret, because it should be a time for celebration. We don't want to be regretting Christmas 2020 in January in the weeks after and then saying, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that. You don't want to have bad memories about Christmas. And if you exhibit bad behavior on Christmas, you may be leading to some results that may scar you and hurt you for the rest of your life. And you know what I'm talking about. There is death associated with this disease, whether you want to admit it or not. You don't want that to be a Christmas memory. COVID Christmas can be fun, can be enjoyable, can have traditions, old and new. But what it has to be is a little different. Accept that, go with it, and have fun with it. And make Christmas 2020, make COVID Christmas one of those ones that you will look back on with a smile instead of a frown. We want more jolly Santas this year. We don't want a COVID Christmas filled with Scrooges. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And don't forget, part of your job of listening to this podcast is also helping to spread the word. So send a link, send a message, send the reasons why you love this podcast to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors. Let them know that this podcast, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, is your favorite, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Your loyalty and devotion and your efforts are much, much, much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed episode 237. Finding Yuletide in a COVID Christmas. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.